Today is May the 8th, 2010, Saturday, early Saturday morning. And we're going to be doing a message today entitled Unresolved Questions. Unresolved Questions. You know, each of us are born into this world in different places, different times, different families, and different situations. No person has every aspect of their lives that's the same as anyone else. You ever thought about that? Everybody, every single person that is born on this planet has different aspects of their lives that no one else will have. And so because of that, it reminds me of our handprints or our fingerprints. God has given each person a very unique fingerprint. And that's what He has also done with each person's life. Everything a person goes through in their life is distinct from everyone else. You ever thought about that, Mark?
Yeah.
In other words, Mark, the experiences that you've gone through, for someone that was born on March 8, 1976, with blonde hair and blue eyes,
uh-huh.
A male,
yeah.
I'm sure that there have been hundreds, probably thousands, of Marks, even with that name,
uh-huh.
Born on March 8, 1976.
Yeah.
But each one of those Marks has a distinct identity in this distinct life because of their families, because of different situations, and by the providential hand of God, what has gone on in their life.
Uh-huh.
And that brings with it, for each person in the world, unresolved questions. Apostle Paul says, we see through a glass darkly. But someday we will see face to face. We will. Now, many of these unresolved questions bring sorrow, sadness, and heartache to our souls. You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
And so we spend much of our life like we're sort of groping around in the dark, asking ourselves these questions. Why did this happen in my life? Why did God allow this to happen? Why? David was a why guy. David in the Bible asked a lot of questions. And we're going to go to the Psalms and look at some of the questions that David asked, looking to resolve the questions in his mind. David had a very, very unique life in that he was brought into the house of Jesse. And here he was, a little shepherd boy, and was chosen in contrast to all of his brothers, and was anointed king. And David was a great warrior. But David, his whole life, was asking questions. A lot of people say, well, you should never question God. I think it's a very human thing for us to question God. I think that is evidenced by the fact that David had so many questions of God in the Psalms. The question, or the admonition or exhortation for us, is when we question God, and we prayed and we searched our hearts and everything else, let us at some point be resigned to His providential hand in our lives, even though we may not like it. Even though we may not like it. Okay, now, the why questions, beginning with the second psalm, the first question there in the first verse is what?
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Paul admonishes the people in the New Testament that they were guilty of having vain imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. But why? Why do the heathen rage? And why do the people imagine a vain thing? In the fourth psalm, it says, read the second verse there.
Fourth psalm?
Yeah, the fourth psalm, the second verse.
O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after lacing and Selah?
Now this is David here praying. And it says, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after lacing? This is David praying. And so we have he has these unresolved conflicts in his life, unresolved questions. And if we look and realize that it's okay to ask questions of God, it's okay to try to seek answers. God knows that we're merely dust and that we are going to return to dust. And He knows that our minds are finite, even though we're tied to the infinite. Now go to the 10th Psalm. Go to the 10th Psalm and read the first verse there.
Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?
David appears to be complaining to God of the outrage of the wicked against him. And he's asking the question here, why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why are you hiding thou thyself in times of trouble? Does this ever seem that way to you in your life?
Yeah.
That God is just hiding himself from you?
Yeah.
And now look at the 13th chapter and read the first two verses there.
How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?
Wow. You ever felt that way?
Yeah.
I know I have. I know I'm going through a situation right now where I feel right that way. That it seems as though my enemy is being exalted over me. You know, there's all of us have enemies in our lives.
Yeah.
People that hate us. People that would like to bring us down to the pit. And there's a lot of people that don't want to give God any glory in their lives. In fact, in the 14th Psalm, the first verse says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Well, we know that in and of ourselves, none of us, even God's sheep, His elect, cannot do any good apart from the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. But anyway, we're talking today about unresolved questions, unresolved conflicts, unresolved things going on in our life that we don't understand. And it's okay to question the purposes, the providential hand of God in our lives, as long as we're not in rebellion to that providential hand of God. It says in the 20th Psalm, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Jesus Christ, when he was hanging on the cross, what did he say to his Father?
Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they did.
Yeah, but he also asked God a question. Uh-huh. My God, what?
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Right. And we see, go to the 22nd Psalm and read the first two verses there.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and the night sees me and not silent.
You know, sometimes when we are in the greatest and deepest distresses of our soul, we find ourselves fleeing to Jesus Christ, our Creator. Sometimes when we feel like we have been abandoned by our friends, by our loved ones, by the people that should be standing with us, but yet here David is complaining. In a great time of discouragement in his life, in a great time of distress in his life. But you know what? At the end of that psalm, he praises God. He praises God. He says, look in the 25th verse of that same psalm. This is after him saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Read the 25th verse. Of that same psalm, the 22nd psalm.
My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them to fear him.
We must realize that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. And to his elect, he's all loving. He's gracious and he's kind, even though it may not seem like it in our lives. It may seem like we're going through such terrible times that God has forsaken us. 25th Psalm, read the first two verses of that.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me.
26th Psalm says, judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in my integrity, and I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. We cannot put our trust in anybody in the arm of the flesh, in our friends, in our spouse, in our kids, in our fathers, in our mothers, in judges, in lawyers, and politicians. Our trust must rest in God alone. 27th Psalm, the first verse is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat me up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Read the verse 5 of chapter 27.
For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
Isn't that good to know, that when it seems as though we're going through absolute, we've been brought to the pit of hell in our souls, that God is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our strength. He knows that we are but dust. And so we're talking about today unresolved conflicts in our life, unresolved questions, unresolved things that we're going through. In the 28th Psalm, read the first two verses there.
Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle.
We as Christians stumble and fall at times. We're often drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Sometimes we get in the flesh. And God knows all of our downs, risings, and our uprisings, and everything else. But there is a unique position for God's sheep. And we look in the 32nd Psalm. Read the first two verses there.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile.
He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand is heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drop of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto him. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Read verse 7.
Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah.
Well, there's your answer, and there's my answer to unresolved questions and unresolved conflicts. God knows everything that we're going through. You know, we don't have to rely upon men. 35th Psalm, read the first verse of that.
Read the first verse. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me.
God is our advocate. We're his sheep. We're trusting in him. He is our advocate. It says, verse 4, let them be confounded and put to shame them that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Read verse 8.
Let destruction come upon him in unawares, and by his net that he has hid catch himself. That very destruction let him fall.
We've all had people in our life that have mocked God, mocked Jesus Christ, denied that he was Son of God, and they have come against us to try to prove that he's powerless, that he isn't who he said he was, that he is not God. And they think that by attacking God's sheep, they can prove in their own minds that Jesus Christ is not the all-powerful, omnipotent Son of God. It says in the 35th Psalm, 11th verse, false witnesses did rise up. They laid on my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. In my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. And David continues to ask God the questions. Read the 17th verse there.
Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions.
Lord, how long? How many times have we prayed that? Mm-hmm. Lord, how long am I going to have to go put up with this stuff? How long am I going to have to go through this? In the 37th Psalm, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because the Most High, who bringeth wicked devices, because of his way, because of the men who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Well, you know, I want to encourage those who have unresolved questions and conflicts. Maybe it's health issues that's going on in your life. Maybe it's physical things that you're having to deal with, and you're asking yourself the question, why? Why do I have to go through all of this physical pain and suffering? Paul, 3 times, asked God to remove this thorn of the flesh that he had to deal with on a daily basis. And God said, what?
"My grace is sufficient for thee."
"My grace is sufficient for thee." When our heart is hurting, and when we're going through sorrow of soul, let's remember to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's continue to know that he is the rock of our strength. Go over to the 54th Psalm and read the first 4 verses there.
"Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is my helper, the Lord is with him that uphold my soul.
He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. Verse 7 says, "For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies." The 35th Psalm, the 4th verse says what?
And what?
The 55th Psalm, 4th verse.
"My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me.
Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." Well, we must continually be pleading for God's mercy and forgiveness and grace in our lives. We must continuously be praying for deliverance from our enemies. We're living in a fallen world. We're living in a world where there's prevailing sin. And it's okay to question God. David questioned God. But in the midst of our questioning, let us be resigned to his sovereignty and his power. Go to the 60th Psalm and read the first verse there.
"God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased, O turn thyself to us again."
62nd Psalm, he says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon my God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Read the first verse of Psalm 63.
O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is.
Psalm 64, verse 1 says, Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Well, God continued daily to deliver David in his life. And even when David sinned, God granted unto him repentance and forgiveness. But David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. He had been given a heart of flesh. Even though he was a great warrior, and even though he had to go through great travail of soul because of his sin, that gives us hope as God's elect. When we sin, when we are in the midst of great travail of soul, and when our enemies are making a tumult against us, and they lift up their heads against us, and it seems like we wonder, how are we going to go on? We must realize that our strength is in the Lord God, who made heaven and earth, who made all things. He's the God of our salvation. And so when we find ourselves crying day and night, go to the 88th Psalm. It says in the first verse, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Read verse 2.
Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry.
For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave.
I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength.
Well, verse 8, Thou hast put away mine acquaintances far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. And now you ask some questions in verse 10. Read verse 10.
Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah?
Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction?
Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?
A lot of questions. He said, Lord, in verse 14, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? Well, unresolved conflicts. Now, I'm going to now look at a couple things in the New Testament that we should be reminded of when we go through these things in our lives. We don't understand. Many times, we bring our own troubles upon our own head by our not being where we should in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Whenever we put our trust in the arm of flesh, we're going to get in trouble. But we must remember that even in the midst of our sin and our suffering and our getting drawn away of our own flesh and all of that, that God is merciful to us and He is forgiving. He is kind. And let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. And when we have these unresolved things going on in our life, we need to realize that God is powerful. He is still on the throne. He is able to deliver us from the foulness and the noisome pestilence going on around us. In the first chapter of Colossians, it says, here's a question, verse 13.
You have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us in the kingdom of his dear son.
That could be a question or it could be an affirmative. He is the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness. And he is the one that has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Read verse 16.
For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
So we've asked this, we brought up this issue about unresolved questions and that. Paul ends that chapter with a grand and glorious affirmation. Read verse 27.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's our only hope in this life and in the next is Christ. So when we are going through heartaches and sorrows and suffering of every kind, and it seems like we can't go on another day, and we try to ask ourselves the question, why? It used to be a song, why me Lord? But we should be asking the question, what have I ever done to deserve even one of the favors I've known? We are not worthy of any of God's mercy and grace. And apart from his mercy and grace in our life, we would be in total destruction. We would be damned forever in hell. God has shown us kindness, that we believe in his precious blood. His blood avails for us. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help those who are listening to this message to be encouraged, so that when they go through and they're having unresolved questions and conflicts in their life, like we have every day, that we can flee to you for comfort, realizing that you're the rock of our salvation, and that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you've completed the work on the cross, and your blood avails for every one of your little sheep. We ask these things in your name. Amen.